Church family, it is a joy to share God's word with you and be with you yet again. Though we so desire to be back together, we're thankful for the modern technology and that we get to be the church scattered even through live streams. Well, sometimes you do not recognize, or I didn't, you don't fully recognize the humble service of someone else in the moment when they're doing it. You actually look back sometimes and see the humble, kind service of others that you did not recognize. I remember my freshman year in college starting to consider and be more grateful for my mom and all that she did in the years of us growing up and my brother and me and serving our family, loving our family. And one of the first places I started recognizing more and more of how much my mom served our family was in my freshman year college, having to go down four stories into kind of the basement of our dorm to do laundry. I hated doing laundry because you had to take all your laundry down all those stairs, and then you weren't even guaranteed to have a wash machine that was available. Sometimes there wasn't. You're so happy when there was, and you had to time it out so you come down and switch it because people would just take out your laundry out of wash machines if the thing was done. So you had to time everything. It felt like it took an entire day to do any amount of laundry in the dorm, and I didn't love it. But I did learn to be more grateful for my mom in those months, and I started to express it all the more. My mom was and is a servant, and most moms are. That's kind of the definition of mom. And looking back, I started to realize that. Well, in today's passage, Jesus is going to be serving his disciples, but it's not going to quite click in. They're not going to recognize it for a while. For the humble act of foot washing that he does in the passage we'll consider in John chapter 13 today is a far greater act than they realize, far more service, far humbler than they even realize, because it foreshadows what the Messiah will do in the greatest act of service, in his death and resurrection. So please open your Bibles to John chapter 13 today. We're going to cover verses 1 through 20, and we're going to continue our verse-by-verse look in the Gospel of John entitled, That You May Believe. And this is kind of a transition. Most scholars say that the first 12 books of John are kind of themed the book of signs. They're these different signs, these 7 to 8 signs that Jesus performs. And then the book of glory is the last part. You have the first part of John is a long time. It starts in John 1 with in the beginning. So we have thousands upon thousands of years referred to in the first 12 chapters of John, and then the last few chapters, the last part of the book of John, this book of glory, is narrowed down to a few days, a little less than a week even. And now we enter the book of glory in John chapter 13, and this first act of glory, and seeing Jesus' glory is through him serving. John chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, not all of you are clean. Verse 12. Then he washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place. And he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I've done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. This is God's holy word. Today's passage shows us Jesus' heart for his people. It's that heart to serve that we see throughout the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus says that this passage and shows this passage is to be an example to others. That we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love and to serve. So there are kind of four aspects of this servant Savior that we're going to see today. The first is this. We see his servant heart has a motive of love. A servant heart has a motive of love. Verse 1 sets up the context and motive that Jesus has as he washes the disciples' feet. It says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, get this, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The whole passage foreshadows the ultimate serving of Jesus, laying down his life for his sheep. Jesus knew that the cross was looming. He says the hour had come, and it was just hours away at this moment. But Jesus wants to show his love for his disciples. He wants to teach them. He wants to express his care for them, so he will wash their feet. And this washing is not a ceremonial washing. It's not a washing to be seen by others, get good media coverage. It's not because he's a germaphobe and he doesn't like dirt in the house. No, this isn't for any of those reasons. The reason and the motive for Jesus washing the feet is love. It says he loved his disciples to the end. That is the heart of Jesus for his disciples then and for his disciples now. Those who followed Jesus, the expression, the leaning in, the posture of Jesus toward his disciples is one of love. Jesus models love for us. We serve others out of the love that the Father gives us. We pour it out for others. Out of the love that Jesus had from the Father, it overflows to others. I've been spending a lot of time studying 1 Corinthians lately, just in my personal devotion time. And I've been in 1 Corinthians 13 lately. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13, it's in the context of how the church of Corinth used spiritual gifts. And it says, man, you could have gifts. You could have wisdom. You can have knowledge. You can have power. You can have all this stuff. You can even be super sacrificial with your life. You can give away all your possessions. Give up your body to be burned, it says. But if you don't have love, you are nothing. It's startling. Love is essential in serving our Lord. Love is essential in how we act toward others. And listen to the description and definition of love that 1 Corinthians 13 says. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. Love is not resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. You see, the motive of serving that honors Christ is love. And that's what we see in Christ washing these disciples' feet. But we also get a window into the difficulty of serving in this passage. Because a servant has a heart of love, but second point is a servant's heart will be willingly hurt. To have a servant's heart, you walk toward vulnerability. Serving out of a motive of love doesn't mean you're protected from ever being hurt. Just ask any mom on this Mother's Day. A mom that walks forward in loving and serving her family may be hurt in the midst of mothering. It often happens. I remember in my late 20s or early 30s talking to my mom. I think we were at her house, kind of spending some time just talking about things. And the conversation came around, like, if a kid ever says they hate their parents and how hard that would be. And then she kind of turned to me and said, "Yeah, I remember when you did that to me." And I was like, "What? I told you I hated you at one point when I was growing up?" And she's like, "Yeah, you did it a few times." And I was like, "Oh man, I didn't remember that." And I was grieved in that moment of my late 20s, early 30s, even grieved now to think about saying that to my mom. But my mom walked forward in serving and got hurt in the process by me. Jesus is the ultimate servant. The text says that he walks purposefully toward pain. He walks purposefully toward vulnerability. He walks purposefully toward suffering. Verse 2 tells us that the devil had already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Throughout this text, throughout John brings up Judas a lot in his betrayal. In verse 11, it says, "Jesus knew who was to betray him." In verse 18, it says, "He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." Judas had plans. He planned to stab Jesus in the back, kiss him on the cheek, turn him over to be tortured and murdered. And Jesus knew it the whole time. And by all indications in this passage, Jesus washes Judas's feet. For we don't even get to Judas leaving the scene until verse 30. So he's there for this. Just imagine that, Jesus washing the feet that are going to walk to the Pharisees. Jesus washing the feet of the one who are going to turn him in for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus washing the feet of those who would lead troops into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus washing those feet that would dangle from a tree when Judas hangs himself. Jesus washing the feet that would spend eternity in hell for rejecting the Christ. Jesus washing the feet of his betrayer, the one who hates him, the one who is filled with the devil. Friends, Jesus models an aspect of serving that sometimes we don't consider. He puts himself in harm's way, in a vulnerable state. He puts himself in a place that is not easy. So how do you know if you are truly serving, if you're truly a servant? Well, you'll probably be hurt at some point. You'll probably be overlooked at some point. Someone else will get the credit that you deserve. You will sometimes be forgotten. You'll be giving a menial task. You'll receive no praise. You know that something is in the best interest of another and it will actually harm you. That's part of being a servant. But there's joy in that. For the Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 17 says that serving, you serving others, you washing the feet, you being overlooked, that's the blessed life because it's seen by the Father. In chapter 12, we saw that the Father honors those who lay down their lives for others. Is that you, my friend? Are you such a servant as that? When you have the opportunity to serve others, are you walking forward with open hands? Lord, is this your will? Do I walk forward in serving? Or are you counting all the costs of how you could be hurt? Friends, we are called to serve, even be vulnerable. Because in the walking forward with vulnerability, we are trusting our Savior. We are trusting the Father. We are walking toward joy in Jesus. We are walking toward freedom in Jesus. We are walking toward blessing in Jesus. Because we are following the path of being a true servant. You see, a servant is motivated by love, willing to be vulnerable. But why? Because, point number three, because the servant is humble. The servant heart is humble. It has humility. Verse 3 through 5 tell us that Jesus takes off his outer garment. He takes a towel and a basin and water, stoops at the feet of the disciples. Now just get what's going on here. Pull back and get what's going on here. The hands that fashioned stars now unstrap dusty sandals. The great I am, who parts the Red Sea, who calms the sea, who walks on the sea, now pours water into a bowl. The consuming fire God now wipes filth from toes. God the Son, who condescended in the incarnation, now condescends to the lowest of the low in complete humility. He does the work of the most lowly house servant. He washes feet that in this culture we just know are smelly and dirty and dung infested. These are worn out feet, fisherman feet, journeying feet, former tax collector and zealot feet, feet of a betrayer. Jesus models humility. The heart of a servant must be a humble heart. It is not serving if we're doing it to be seen by others. It is not serving if our heart is getting puffed up and proud in our serving. It is not serving if we're just getting a picture so we can post it on social media. That is not serving the Father to glorify and honor the Father. That is not the motive of humility. You see, our serving is to be connected to Christ's serving, empowered by Christ's love and motivated by that love. So that love we talked about earlier and this humility go together. Love and humility. And friends, that is the heart of a servant. Is that your heart? Are you humble in your serving? Are you looking for something in return? Are you humble in your serving, or do you hold people hostage with your expectations when you have served? Are you willingly walking toward the lowest spot, walking toward the menial task for the glory of God? Because, friends, like I said a minute ago, there is joy in that. And so this passage calls us to a serving that is loving, that may be harmed, but is humble and is not complaining and not grumbling. So if our serving is full of grumbling and complaining, that is not honoring our Savior Jesus in the midst of serving. Serving that honors Jesus is humble serving. For Jesus is the most humble. He's the most humble servant. Even so humble that he went to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is the servant that models all serving. And he has these attributes, these first three points of things that we kind of share. We kind of walk into and they're examples. But this fourth and final point today, we're not sharing, we're just walking toward it because of trust and faith in Him. And is this, not just a servant's heart, but a Savior's heart. Because all of us, as we stumble about in our serving, with mixed motives in our serving, we realize we need a Savior. We need a Savior. And that Savior says, you must be washed. In verses 6 through 11, Jesus and Peter interact about the washing of feet. Peter is uncomfortable with this. And this is like classic Peter fashion. He protests to Jesus taking this posture of the lowly house slave. Jesus responds, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Jesus is washing feet, but he's speaking of more than just the physical washing of feet here. He speaks of what Paul will later call in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the washing of regeneration. Or Ezekiel calls the being sprinkled clean with water and cleansed of all your uncleanness. You see, all of us come to Christ dirty and sweaty and smelly and soiled with our lives. Our sin has ruined us. It has stained us. We are filthy. But Christ, our great Savior, comes and takes all our sin, our smell, our soiling, our stain, and puts it on Himself and dies for our sin and raises from the grave and accredits to us all His purity, all His cleanness, all His goodness, all His righteousness, all by grace. Ezekiel 37 says that we are washed in Him. We are given new hearts. Our old heart is taken out. Our new heart is given, and we are filled with His Spirit. We are made new. Friends, have you experienced that? If you have, just marvel at the goodness and mercy of this Savior who comes, who washes you, washes your feet in the midst of your filth and your rebellion and your running from Him. He washed you clean by His grace and kindness through the cross and resurrection. But friends, if you have not experienced God's washing, if you have not been saved by Him, Jesus invites you right now to turn from your stain-soaked life and turn to Him to be washed clean. He will purify you. He will cleanse you. He will give you a new heart. But you may be like Peter, and you may protest. Josh Moody, a pastor, says it well. He says this: we will do anything, anything, rather than accept we need saving. Surely there's something complicated we must do. Surely we must work hard to prove ourselves to God. No. Receiving God's blessing requires from us only humility to allow Jesus to wash us. Friend, are you willing to humble yourself now? Are you willing to humble yourself and be washed by the Lord? Not bringing your gifts, not bringing your abilities, not bringing your resume, not bringing your performance, but saying, I have nothing but stained and soiled lives in my life. Peter said, no, Jesus, don't wash my feet. And Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. And then Peter says, well, then wash all of me. And then Jesus essentially says, Peter, you don't dictate the terms here. Oh, friends, how we try to dictate the terms. How we try to say, this is what I'm going to do, Jesus, so you need to reward me in this way. But Jesus says, no. You don't dictate the terms. You receive the washing, but you don't control it. You obtain the washing, but it's according to His terms and not yours. What do? You humble yourself. You humble yourself before the King and pray. And right now, whether you're in your kitchen or living room or bedroom, Jesus can save you and wash you of your sins, give you a new heart, fill you with His Holy Spirit. And friends, all you're called to do is turn humbly to Him and cry out and say, please save me from my sins, Lord. I'm drowning here. And He will save you if you believe in His death and resurrection. And friends, if that's you, we would love to connect with you. As soon as this live stream ends on Facebook, we'll have a link for a Zoom call. One of the pastors or staff will be on there and we'll be able to connect with you and tell you more about Jesus and who He is and how that changes our lives. We would love to connect with you in that way. Or if you have questions about the church, you can connect with that pastor that way as well. In closing, I think there are three questions that our texts ask us. The first is this: have you been washed by Christ? That's what I just explained. Have you been washed? If not, turn from your sins and trust Jesus for salvation. Second question is, am I serving with a motive of love and humility? Friends, is our serving done with grumbling and complaining? Or is it done with love and humility? And not just maybe how I assess it, but how do my kids or my coworkers or my spouse, how do other people assess my serving? Is it love and humility, or is it grumbling and complaining? Friends, we want to honor the Lord with love and humility. And the third question for us to ask ourselves is, whose feet am I to wash? So if we're called to love and humility, repent when there's grumbling, complaining, come to Christ. Now, who's God stirring in your heart? As you're watching this, you're praying, as you're asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom, who are you to go and wash their feet? Now, that may be physically washing your family's feet now to serve them or something like that. Or maybe taking that cultural concept, stooping to the lowest place and serving a neighbor or a coworker or a family member or a friend. You see, 1 John chapter 3 talks about this a ton. 1 John talks about this a ton. 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know love, that He, Jesus, laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." So friends, let's not turn off this live stream and just move on with life. Let us pause. Let us ask the Spirit, "Lord, show me where I'm called to serve. Show me who I am supposed to wash their feet." Because Jesus says in verse 17, there is blessing as we serve with humility and love and vulnerability. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would do that in our lives, that we would be a church that walks out servant-hearted gospel relationships, that we would take the low spot because You have loved us. You have poured out Your grace on us. You reign in us and You reign through us. All for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.